and we are on the air. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the vlogcast. A vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer the question of why. Instead of getting right to the answers, we take the time to examine the questions themselves because, as the expression goes, sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. This show was born out of a combination of spite and the Streisand effect, thanks to someone on Facebook telling me I should just stop making posts with scary logic to correct other people's posts with crap information. It is 2014, 16 March. It is Sunday morning over here on the Eastern Seaboard, and this is episode 008. And this week we're going to be talking about CCG. Now, for some people, CCG stands for Customizable or Collectible Card Game, in this particular case, that actually translates to Conventions, Congregations, and Gatherings, partly because of what was happening this past weekend, or I should say last weekend. Those of you that were looking for the show last weekend, our apologies, I was traveling out in Toronto along with Witchy. We were both over at Fernal Equinox in Toronto. We had a good time, and we'll tell you guys a little bit about that as we go along. I'm originally born in Brooklyn. I was raised in a Roman Catholic household, moved out to Long Island, and began my transition to questioning stuff before I was out of middle school. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and I am an unabashed atheist. Again, joining me this evening is Witchy Bunny.
Hi. I was born and raised in Philadelphia. No song jokes there. Still living there, as a matter of fact. Born a Jehovah's Witness, raised that way, and started kind of getting out of that and into paganism, and now I'm just kind of agnostic, seeing what's out there and where the answers take me.
And Unrenown Tech.
Hey, I currently reside in the underbelly of Southern Maryland. I was raised Jewish. I converted to Christianity for a time, and then reality set in, and I became an atheist.
All right. And, of course, as you might have noticed, we're down a couple of people. Dallin is not joining us this evening. He is currently traveling from north of the border to south of the border. He made it through all of, apparently, all of the border security without a problem. So congratulations, Dallin. We appreciate that. And Gavin is otherwise occupied this evening. So we're going to...
You're not allowed to eat my friends. I thought we had this discussion already.
But they taste like...
No.
Like bacon.
I need them.
Funny enough, you were talking about eating because... Yes, well, this weekend, like I said, Witchy and I were up at Toronto for Fertile Equinox. And there was much, much bacon to be had at the breakfast buffet. As Witchy will attest, the people at the Sheridan were told ahead of time, make sure that you've got a lot of bacon on hand. Whatever it is that you would normally have for a convention, double it. Yes, and at first they didn't believe us. And what happened, Witchy?
I think after that first day, they started doubling how much bacon they were preparing because, holy cow.
A lot of complaints, I take it?
Oh, No.
No, just a decided lack of bacon, which was summarily fixed, fortunately, shortly thereafter. It was a lot of bacon. Furries eat a lot of bacon. Yes, furs. It was a fur con. Shut up. Anyway, to kind of go along with it, it was also my birth week, the first week of March. So Fernal Equinox is typically our birthday gift to myself and the little one, since I won't take her to Anthrocon because Anthrocon is 5,000 close, warm, personal friends.
Closing about 6,000 at this point.
Yes. Whereas Fertile Equinox is, as of this year, and congratulations to you guys, 910 attendees with over 265 fursuiters registered. And the only reason why they guesstimate it at 265 is because they ran out of tags for the number of fursuiters that they had. So, you know, congratulations. That puts the number at approximately 30% of the attendees had registered fursuits for the attendance, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to look up the information for the fursuit parade, there are some videos available on YouTube. If you punch in for FE2014 parade or Fertile Equinox 2014 parade, you should be able to find a number of those, so you can see a lot of these fursuits. If you hear a whole bunch of circus music, that was me. I was a DJ on duty for that, so that was good. And since this was one of the first days that I've been out since Tuesday, because I've been sick as a dog, and it was, you know, like I said, my birth week, our friends on a Saturday, we usually get together after somebody's birthday or whenever we decide that their birthday is, if they don't tell us. Hi, Caleb. we get together and, you know, we have whatever dinner, and we really kind of had it low-key because didn't know if I was going to be even showing up. There is a Christmas tradition where somebody ends up getting a can of Spam or a package of Spam as a gift, and I use the term very loosely.
Spam.
Well, I don't know if you'll be able to read the label on camera, but Caleb decided that instead of Spam for my birthday, because it wasn't Christmas, he got me this.
Oh, cool.
Oh. Wow.
Did he get that imported from England, or do they actually sell it here in the States?
They do sell it here in the States, where you get a lot of British expats coming over, like Florida, for instance.
Huh. Yeah, so, I'm not going to be eating it. Not because it's microwavable, not because of the name, but because, for those of you that are who can't read for whatever reason, this is
Spotted Dick.
It is Spotted Dick. And the spotted part of Spotted Dick is raisins. And I hope you're going to care for raisins. So I'm gonna try a little experiment. Oh, this says that it's good until July of 15. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to end up opening it and leaving it outside and finding out if any woodland creatures decide that this is worthwhile, which I doubt. Especially considering on the top of it, it says, open this end first.
Well, Sujin, what is the sodium content per serving?
Sodium content is salt. You should read. Let's see. Total fat, saturated fat, cholesterol, sodium. Let's see. Servings per container. Serving size is a third of a cup? Third of a cup. Sodium. 240 milligrams. That's kind of high, isn't it?
Potato chips are higher.
I'm guessing bacon is higher too, right?
Depends on the cut of bacon you get, yes. If it's cured, what it's, all that other stuff. But if you get uncured regular bacon, it's pretty close, about the same.
I'll go with that. Anyway.
Just all I buy does.
Fair enough. Okay, so, like I said, we're going to be talking about conventions and gatherings and collections of non-theists, and that's a very large blanket term, because the getting together for a FurCon, for an anthropomorphic arts convention, as I usually like to say at the border, because it's accurate, and, you know, I can tell them exactly what it is beyond that. It's gotten a little bit of a bad rap, and there's a good reason for that. And usually it's because the media.
And, yeah, that wonderful episode of CSI.
Well, see, now, what you're referring to, we gotta kind of deal with this.
Oh, great.
In the furry community, there are a number of things that we really take a lot of umbrage to. CSI is one of them. MTV, Vanity Fair. There were. Which help me out. There were a couple of others. I can't think of them.
The BBC did a quote unquote news article on the fandom. I'm trying to think what else. I think you've covered the major ones.
Yeah, there were a couple of them, and the problem of these were that they painted the the furry community, and I'm using that term very specifically, as basically a bunch of sexual deviants who are about half a step away from Sodom and Gomorrah, and the whole world should just be wiped clean with nuclear waste. Now, the problem of it is, they tried to do the same thing with the Star Trek and sci-fi community. And, no wait. The Star Trek and sci-fi community at these conventions would typically dress up in costumes, cosplay, and some of them were women in green makeup, some were guys in Klingon outfits, some were in battle leathers, some were in chainmail and very little else.
And then, of course, you always had Darth Vader showing up.
You had Darth Vader, amongst others. Yep. But back in the day, in the 70s and the 80s, when the media came around and said, well, look at all these people, they're here at the convention hotel, and they're all just gathering people to come away after the thing and have fun in their hotel rooms behind closed doors, the people basically said, yeah, and just accepted it and said, you know what? What we're doing, sure, make up your own mind. Whatever we're doing is our business and none of yours, so GTFO and go pound dirt. And they, you know, they left it at that. Unfortunately, with the furry community, a lot of the sexual side of life, which, let's face it, this is a topic that we'll end up covering another time, really. There is a sexual aspect to life, like it or not, and in a lot of cases with the repressive sociologies. I'm going to leave it at that. Sex tends to get a bad name. With the furry communities, a lot of the artwork and a lot of the stuff is just simply out there in the open. Some are less abashed than others. Some don't really care. Some of them say, you know what? This is who I am. You don't like it? You know what? Go pound dirt. And some have used it for ratings, for sales, for, you know, selling magazines or whatever. And there are a handful of groups who have actually said, look, is there a sexual aspect? Sure. And I happen to be one of those people. Is there a sexual aspect to the furry community? Sure. The sci-fi community? Absolutely. To the electronics community? Positively. But it's...
Gotta tweak those transistors somehow.
I believe Samuel Conway, who is the chairman who is the chairman of AnthroCon, put it best when he was doing a radio interview with a couple of Pittsburgh DJs who were just needling him about the whole, you know, oh, come on, they're all having sex, aren't they? Your conventioners are having sex. And Sam finally goes, you know what? Fine, you got me. Furries are the only people who have sex. Happy?
Yeah, and he's also the one who said, trying to imagine having sex in a fursuit of an anthropomorphized animal with all this fur on you. Try to imagine wearing a sofa and trying to get freaky with somebody.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. Does it happen? There are the individuals out there who do, sure. There are also individuals out there that find liquefied latex with an ammonia base that paint it on themselves and go out in all these great colored costumes that are literally painted on for like the Folsom Street Fair or the Gay Pride Parade in Toronto or Burning Man. It all comes down to and. Now, that's loosely tied into the topic that we're talking about at this point. There are the occasions where people will get together for a unifying idea, whether it be an arts convention for whatever. For instance, here in Buffalo, every year we have the Allentown Arts Festival, where they cut, they shut down.
Sorry.
You okay, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You're fine. Just don't die, okay?
Yeah, no falling over.
No, I was trying to cover up the microphone.
It's right. Okay.
Yeah.
If I hit the mute button and then I let go of the mute button,
yes,
I won't be able to talk anymore.
That would be a very bad thing. So anyway, the point of it is there are gatherings for people at different times for different things that join them together. The Allentown Arts Festival here in Buffalo for all kinds of arts. And one of the more unique things that I ever saw was somebody who took black paper and scissors and would look at somebody, have somebody sit down in a chair, look at them in profile, and by hand, holding up the paper and the scissors, will cut out very carefully somebody's profile in the paper freehand. And it was amazing to watch. There are people who, like at a carnival or a carnival or an amusement park, will draw your caricature right there as you stand there and in whatever pose with a background or whatever. I've got one of myself in my duster jacket with a hat with a castle in the background caricatured. Okay, that's all well and good. But in the case of atheists, for non-theists, people who do not have a particular belief in God, or any particular God like that, the opportunities are fewer and far between, usually because of persecution, whether real or perceived. Usually people would think of a gathering like this as, well, big church. And that's kind of one of the things that has become an annoyance for a lot of non-believers. There is something that's been started up called the Sunday Congregation, or Sunday Assembly. Excuse me. And there are some media groups who have started to call it Atheist Church. Now, this is the first thing that we're going to hit on right off the bat. And yeah, witchy, yeah,
let's violence. All meet up and not believe on something together. Yay!
Yeah, exactly. Witchy,
Do these people know the meaning of the word oxymoron?
I'm guessing probably not, but...
No, most of them don't.
Because that's about as oxymoronic as I can think of. I mean, it's... What? But I mean, I guess it depends on how you define church, but considering a church is supposed to be a place of worship, and my brain hurts.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with you on this one. That's what drives me nuts. Tech, I saw that you have your...
Oh, he muted his mic. Oh, no. Wow.
Can you start a minute now?
Yes!
Wow!
All right. Well, maybe it's because I'm using full screen today.
That could be it. Well, it could be a matter that... Did you threaten your computer with a cold salt water bath if it didn't behave this time?
No, actually, I picked up this wonderful multi-tool from SOG, and you see, and what's really great is on this side... We have the wonderful straight edge blade. And see, on this side, on the other side, they have the wonderful serrated edge blade for cutting through those nasty metallic parts in the green board, you know?
Please be sure to use rubber gloves.
Oh, no. The electric shock is just the beginning stages.
Wonderful. Yeah. So, atheist...
I'm sorry. I was distracted. What's up?
So, the term atheist church is what some have deemed this, and I'm assuming that you've heard about these Sunday assemblies.
Yeah, I've read about
the term. Yeah, just the term itself, Sunday assembly. Feel free, have at it on that one for a second.
Well, first off, I'm wondering why they're doing it on Sunday, just because they have nothing better to do. I mean, I for example, go ahead, attack me. I play Dungeons and Dragons, people. Go ahead, open it up. Oh.
I am shocked and appalled at your level of geekiness on Renault Tech.
The worst part of it is I'm pretty sure that you've got a weighted die 20 somewhere, don't you?
Yes, I do.
There you go.
I have a D20 about this big. Leave me alone.
I've also invested in three specially made 20-sided die that are perfectly balanced on every single side.
Nice.
Where did you get those?
If I can remember where, I will shoot an email to Sujin to pass it along. I also play Magic the Gathering, and all that other stuff. So
we'll come back to that with you.
So the point is that on weekends, you know, a social gathering to talk about a non-belief in something is like, okay, I kind of see what we're doing here on the video chat, but that's kind of it. If people really want to get together, they should be getting together to do something fun. Like, get together, the weather is beautiful, let's have a barbecue. Or if they really want to start off a group, if they really want to start an atheist social gathering, let it revolve around something that people submit themselves to do. All right, this week we've all, you know, we've had several submissions, and the ones that we're going up for, you know, to see who wants to do the most, democratic vote of, we're going to go over here and see the hot air balloons. Option B would be to go to a local restaurant that just opened up and it has this style of cuisine. And option C, the latest movies have come out or whatever. You know, do something together as a group rather than just piggybacking off of the way I see it is that they're piggybacking off of religion in a sense that they feel the need to go to some place to congregate. It's like, if you're going to do that, do something fun. I do that with my gaming groups. Find something that you have fun with and do it together. Don't go to a building where you're just going to sit there and listen to some people talk for a few minutes or a few hours and call it, oh, this is progress. No. You're all atheists or agnostics. You're all on the same page. You're all using logic and reasoning skills. Really, if you have a problem, start an atheist help group or an agnostic help group that's open 24 hours a day or as many hours as people can volunteer for, and put that, you know, somebody's home or a business building that can be rented out and it's based off donations, you know, file all the proper paperwork and things like that. But this social Sunday assembly gathering, dude, unless you're doing something with it other than just talking, I wouldn't go. I'd go if they were doing, oh, hey, look, when we go, everybody brings something. It's a potluck every Sunday. Oh, great, potluck every Sunday. I can bring in different recipes. I used to take culinary arts. This is a chance for me to have other people enjoy the things like stuffed mushrooms or maybe a particular type of dandelion salad if they're in season, or hot lettuce, you know, whatever the case might be.
And that's the thing. As I've understood it, there are a couple of reasons why the decision was to do this kind of thing on a Sunday. For those people who have recently deconverted, it's a day that's it's a time that's been otherwise set aside anyway. It's okay. Kind of part of the habit. Which, I mean, makes sense. I mean, if you've had a hole, if you now have a hole in your schedule that you've otherwise been with people at a particular time anyway, you kind of lose track of the feeling of community that way, especially. For a lot of people who end up deconverting, there is this big feeling of, like I said, suddenly loneliness because you're suddenly ostracized from a huge member of your community. To go with that one, Witchy, you know full well. If you are as a Jehovah's Witness, if you're an apostate, meaning you suddenly no longer say that you're part of the Jehovah's Witnesses,
you are. It's a practice called disfellowshipping, and essentially what it is complete and utter shunning. I'm actually lucky enough not to have experienced it because my family's a little weird as far as Jehovah's Witnesses go. And despite the fact that quite a few of us are apostates or otherwise don't practice, my family that are still Jehovah's Witnesses do not actually practice the shunning part of the disfellowshipping because family is family. And apparently, I have the one sane Jehovah's Witness family in all of creation. So, you know, they don't do that. But I've seen a lot of examples of, you know, mothers no longer talking to their kids, to their husbands, wives, to their husbands, just because they no longer believe. And because the society tells them, well, until they believe, or until, you know, they're no longer disfellowshipped, you can't have anything to do with them at all. These people will pass their own kids in the street. I had one, oh my God, one of my friends was talking about how his mother went to his non-believing, always non-believing friend for baby pictures of her grandkids because he was disfellowshipped. And it's an awful thing. I mean, you really just get completely shunned.
Yeah. And as I've understood it, from my background, there isn't exactly something quite like that with Catholic groups that I had seen. Although it was kind of tacitly, you know, you want to still come to church. Well, we're not going to really check IDs at the door, but you're really not supposed to come up to get the free cookie and juice combination at the end of
Mass. Yeah, they'll just talk badly about your attire behind your back while they, you know, serving you up a drink or something, and then twist the knife a little bit when you're turned away. And I've seen that a lot. And just in my growing up, I've visited friends' churches before. And I've seen how they'll greet somebody at the door and they'll be all happy and nice and everything. And when that person's not looking and they're turned away, they'll talk to another person who apparently is in a tighter social circle than that other person and say something really nasty, and I'll catch them. I'll be looking. And there were cases where I heard it and I turned and I looked at the person with shock on my face, and they just looked at me like, "What are you looking at?" It's like, wow, you know. I'm sorry, you are not a good representative of your faith.
Yeah, and the funny part of it is, I don't really like to make this kind of comparison, but it is like high school clique all over again.
That's exactly what it's like.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and
I see more maturity out of college freshmen than them.
Which is not a really high praise right there, but be that as it may. So, the loss of community when you become an apostate, if you become an apostate, the chances of it are, depending as to what denomination you are, fairly high. With some, it's almost a certainty. As I've understood it with Islam, if you are an apostate, it's more than just being shunned. You effectively have a death sentence on your head. Effective.
More conservative areas, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's you know what? I won't even steal the thunder. Witchy, what kind of a thing would it be?
No bueno.
Very, very much so. So, if you're if you no longer believe. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me tack on to, you've said that, you know, people who are used to having these social gatherings on Sunday based on their religious beliefs, now they're not there anymore. Now they're feeling lonely or shunned or physically threatened, you know, possibly physically threatened. It goes back to what I was saying before, which is, all right, if you have people in, who are atheists or agnostic, and they feel lonely or threatened or vulnerable, that's where I was saying that go ahead and make that group of volunteers who can say, hey, listen, you know, we've been through this, why don't you talk to this guy or this woman, because they've been through exactly what you've been through, because they're of the same, they were of the same background. You know, they're available to talk this hour of each day. You know, here's the number or here's the address, or, you know, come here tomorrow at such and such hour. We'll have some coffee, we'll have some donuts or cookies, whatever. But as for the social gathering for the people who don't need that kind of support, like I said, you know, okay, make kind of like a, if you want to make it a meeting center, a hub of things to spread out and do, all the better. But if you're just going to have people group there just because that's what they're used to, that's not the greatest excuse in the world. It would be much better to, hey, let's meet, find people you have things in common, and then go do those things with the people that you have in common. You like to play tabletop board games. These people like to play tabletop board games. Hey, look, they brought a couple. Let's go find some tables. Let's go play some board games. Everybody brought some food. Let's eat up. These people like to jog. These people like to hot air balloon, whatever the case might be. But hub out from there. Network out from there. Don't stay put. That, right. In my opinion, is the problem with most churches and many groups, is that they stay put. They sit there, they do that piety stuff, and they feel bad for themselves and everybody else around them. And not so much in the Jewish religion. There's a lot more happiness and celebration in those groups, but still, there's some of the unhappy and piety stuff. Right. And, you know, help group, everything else, hub and network out.
Right, and that's a good portion of what's happening now. To back up before I actually tackle into that. For those of you that are watching, by the way, we are roughly halfway through theoretically. So those of you that are watching, and Ross, we know you're there. Thank you very much. Hope that you didn't miss us too much. If you're watching now after the fact, please by all means join us some night and utilize the question and answer system. That's what it's there for, so we can kind of tackle some of the questions. Ross is, as usual, already setting up information, and we're going to tackle that momentarily. Part of the reason, as I was saying before, for the Sunday assemblies to be on Sundays in the early afternoons is, like I said, partly because the hole in the schedule is already there for most people. Now, in this case, most people meaning most Christians. Most Christians, and I'm saying it very broadly, most would typically, not always, but typically would use Sunday as the day for going to church. Some go earlier, some go later, some go on Saturdays, depending as to when it is. Some go several times a week, which, you know, okay, whatever. But the idea of doing it on Sunday makes a lot of sense, not just for the social hole that might be suddenly there, but also because Saturday being the first day of the weekend for most people, because, you know, 9 to 5 Monday, Friday, which is all well and good, would typically be a day for people to say, okay, Saturday morning, we're going to get up, we're going to be going out, we're going to do whatever it is that we're going to do that's fun. And later in the day, you know what, we get done with it all, we're doing whatever, we have to do shopping, okay, we get done with whatever has to be done, and the evening is whatever. You know, low-key, maybe a movie, maybe popcorn, maybe an excuse to restart a new family, you know, whatever the case may be. But, and Sunday would typically be a much low-key day, kind of recovering from Saturday, as it were, in some cases. And, you know, you wait until later in the day when people have had the chance to sleep in and relax, and they come a little bit later, and it's a gathering so that people can reconnect, have a feeling of being together with people who believe the same thing, or more accurately, don't believe the same thing. And it's not just, we got a bunch of people together here, and it's music, and it's woo-woo, and happy dancey kind of stuff. It's an opportunity for people to get together and to celebrate the time that they're together, realize that we're all in this together, and sometimes it's a chance to say, hey, look, this is what's been going on around, and these are the people who are new to joining us. Help them feel like they're not such freaks. And these are the people who are available, and this is what's been happening, and who wants to tell us about, you know, what kind of bad things have happened or good things have happened. You know, work us through and help everybody to realize that they're not alone, which is actually kind of a nice thing to suddenly realize that you've got community. And it's very different, of course, from hitting up a meetup group and going for coffee, which the little one and I were doing over here in Western New York. Unfortunately, with the change in schedule of having to be up at 6 in the morning, staying up until, you know, 9 at night is not exactly the best thing, because, you know, 8 o'clock is sleep time for the little one, because, you know, She's working hard. Can we go to 9 o'clock? Maybe. But, you know, better to ease into this at first because, you know, new school, new schedule, first year is probably going to be a little bit on the weird side, but you know, as it may be. But the idea of having a group of people to get together for an appreciation for music, an appreciation for art, an appreciation for realizing that there is vast community, and being able to use that as a networking point, as a hub kind of thing, that's pretty close to what you were just describing. And I'm fairly certain, although I've not been to one myself. I can English, I promise. It seems like a really cool piece at this point. And this is actually going to dovetail into Ross's question in a section. So describing it that way, Tech, I'm kind of guessing that this sounds pretty close to what you would be hoping a group like this would be doing.
Yeah, because if all they're doing is basically reenacting a church environment without the religion, they're not getting the true benefit of getting together, forming a congregation or a group, if you will, of people who come in every so often. And the full benefit is when you network out from there.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you just stay put and the only thing you have in common is the fact that you don't believe in something and you all get together and all you do is you either complain about the fact that other people won't leave you alone about it or that you feel lonely and that's it, that's going to be a very depressing environment. And the idea is to be celebratory. You have the people who have, yeah, exactly. And the people who are depressed, who are having those problems, make sure that they get the support. But I would make the support group a full-time thing versus this, you know, the once a week meeting once a week. That way, if they're having a really bad day where just, you know, maybe their family members who have disowned them or friends who have disowned them are just nailing on them real hard, they can whip out their cell phone, call that, you know, number and say, hey, listen, I'm having a bad day. Let's go get a cup of coffee and a slice of pie. I need it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And with you, I want to have you
mention, sorry.
No worries. I want to have you mention about something really quickly before we get to Ross's question. Because of what Tech was saying, what does the expression cult of personality mean to you?
Oh, my God.
Wasn't that a song?
Some people remember it, some don't.
Cult of personality is when you have someone who has a personality that's so engaging, so magnetic, that people will follow them and do anything they say. And it's really insidious when that type of person uses their power.
And as a matter of fact, the guys who were doing some Sunday assembly specifically made sure that they would not have that as an issue. And, you know, in interviews they've said how, you know, they joked about, yeah, we kind of thought about that, and we also thought, you know, these are a bunch of people with a skeptical bent to themselves, so that should be a much less likely problem, but we want to make sure that people understand that this is for all of us. It is not any one person. So we have different individuals come up to talk about different things with different topics so that we can make sure that it is not any one person. And it's not just us, the people who founded it and started it up. And, you know, wonderful, wonderful idea. The fact that they made sure and were thinking about it and saying, look, this could very easily be perverted because we're all kind of in this boat together, and some of us are kind of new and not exactly on the best of foundations, so let's make sure it's all good, which is a good piece.
Yeah, anytime you form a group of people of like-mindedness, or even maybe not like-mindedness, but just some small similarities, and then you have one person in that group, or a couple people in that group, who can basically sway the crowd, they have been given power now. And yeah, anytime somebody has power, there's the potential for abuse. And yeah, if they're, you know, monitoring themselves to make sure that they're not going down those roads, you know, they have other people who are going, hey, listen, you know, you and I, we were talking about this, and you've started going down this road. You need to step down for a bit, let somebody else, you know, haul the bucket for a while, let them carry the load, and let's review these topics of conversation, things like that, and make sure that we're not going full tilt, you know, balls to the wall like we shouldn't be.
Yep. And funny enough, I actually have a D&D reference that brings us all kind of together again. Dungeons & Dragons was a role-playing game that started off in...
Was. It
really came to the...
Is.
Hold on. Was, because of the beginnings, was a game that really came to the front in the early 80s. Late 70s, really. And it was founded on a whole bunch of player rules with a couple of odd-shaped dice.
And a lot of math.
A lot of math.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the instrumental people for creating it, for developing it, I should say. The reason for that is a one Mr. Gary Gygax, who a couple of years ago lost his saving roll versus... Well, we're not going to do that joke. But the point of it is, Dungeons & Dragons was not nearly the first role-playing game to use dice or to use a name like Dungeons & Dragons. For instance, Gary modeled himself as the end-all be-all for role-playing games in this style with dice like this, with these kinds of mechanics and these kinds of mythologies and such. So if you decided that you were going to develop your own system using these very same type of dice, and you wanted to call it something like Mutants and Amish Wolverines, for instance. Is that five now?
That's five.
You would probably inevitably clash horns with Gary and, well, actually just Gary. Because after a while, his company, TSR Games, and his product, Dungeons & Dragons, by name, became the monolith of the role-playing sims. There were many others that were still around, but Gary thought of himself and his creation, his development, as being the end-all be-all and of the game mechanics and such. And if you came out with something else that had a similar concept, you ended up butting heads with him or someone who really believed that Gary's development was the end-all be-all. And, you know, as social media came to the fore, Gary's influence became much more personal, and, you know, you could just go ahead and slap at people, directly through social media, and he did before his passing. So the idea of the cult of personality is seen, has been seen, and will continue to be seen, and that's something that, you know, these groups are concerned about. And of course it's something that I don't want to have happen, and I know many other people would not either. Now this kind of ties in, though it may not seem like it at first, to what Ross had asked in the Q&A system over here, saying, quote, "Are you just speaking of all people in general, whatever the social affiliation, religious, national, or ethnic?"
Societal.
Religious, national, societal affiliation. Sorry, thank you. Yes and no. See, the problem of it is, these types of gatherings are far and away more typical, stereotypical, one might even say, for those in religious groups. Now, yes, you can have groups that get together on a weekly basis or even a monthly basis, usually weekly, for, let's say, bowling leagues, or for, you know, going to the gym at the same time, or carpooling. It's the same idea of people getting together at a specific time for a specific purpose. However, when you talk about, I'm getting together with my group on a weekend for an hour specifically, it would be much easier to expect that it is a religious observance rather than a knitting party, for instance. And yes, which I'm thinking of you in particular on this one. Or a stitch and bitch, like my wife and I used to do back at college with some of our friends. Used to do cross-stitch. Yes, cross-stitch. I used to do cross-stitch. Shut up. But
hey, dude, I know how to use a sewing machine, so I don't feel bad.
Little one's going to be learning that in school this year, too.
I was the only guy to pass home economics with an A.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome, actually.
Between having known how to bake, my mother teaching me over the summer, several summers, how to basics of cooking and then the basics of sewing so that when I grew up, I could actually take care of myself. You know, like I was the only guy at DeVry when I first attended that knew how to do his own damn laundry.
Wow.
There you go. Well, anyway, the point of it is, are we speaking of all people in general, whatever the societal affiliation? Well, like I said, yes and no, because there are groups that get together on a weekly basis for, you know, whatever. But those who are apostates, especially, those who are transitioning out of some religious affiliation or other, will typically be frowned upon and will be ostracized from the majority of the people that they have been with for most of their lives. For example, if you're born into a Jehovah's Witness group, mm-hmm. if you become an apostate, you are, as you were saying, you are shunned out. You are ostracized mm-hmm. from your friends, your family, all those that you went together with for that shared the same religious
your entire life. If you're, especially if you're born in, you're basically kicked out of your entire life. Sometimes literally, there are kids who have been kicked out of their homes for not believing, and everything yeah. that every single bit of support that they had, everyone that they ever knew, everything is gone.
Yeah, and there are instances of kids who are Mormon, even, who mm-hmm. have been who no longer believe, or even worse, well, you know, okay, fine, you don't believe, but at least you're not gay.
Well,
you know why you brought actually, up the topic?
Yeah. Actually,
yes, bud.
No, is it just like what you're saying? It's like, well, she's actually, now that you bring it up,
yeah.
Yes, I was playing along. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah, there are, unfortunately, there are a lot of situations like that where you suddenly no longer believe, or maybe not necessarily suddenly, because usually something like this takes a while for it to have happen. But to suddenly no longer have an affiliation, a support system, a social group, is a scary thing to suddenly be out there on your own. So for me to hear about these Sunday congregations, these Sunday assemblies, at first when I heard about it on a couple of different podcasts, I was thinking to myself, well, this is kind of a weird thing, and why? Okay, they're getting together. It's an oversized coffee clutch. Okay, and then the groups like the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe and George Schwab and Ask an Atheist and Thank God I'm Atheist and several other podcasts that I listened to started to talk about them and said, and I'm going to use inverted quotes for a second, started to talk about it as atheist church and specifically said they themselves are not calling it that because that's not what it is. It is a congregation. It is an assembly. It is a gathering. It is the newspapers and the media who are calling it atheist church because it's the closest analog that the general public would understand instantly. Because if you describe it that way, they'll just get it.
Right. And of course, the newspaper is all about describing things in appropriate manner with, you know, using appropriate titles, rather than worrying about what kind of print will make them the most money.
Yeah, if I remember right, it was taught to me, I think it was in high school, that a typical, I could be wrong about this one, a typical newspaper would be written to a would be typically written to a mid-high school level for conceptual understanding. Bunny, I don't know if you had any anything on that one. That's not the best that I remember.
It's generally anything that has to be marketed to the masses is going to have to appeal to the lowest common denominator.
Fifth grade.
Yeah, which is sadly enough.
Well, depending on the area, it might be third grade.
That hurts.
I didn't say Buffalo. No.
But it's the fact that you're actually right about that that hurts.
I would expect Buffalo to be about sixth or seventh grade minimum.
Well, I
having
for one
been was, in the area.
As one who is not a native to the area, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Where I grew up on Long Island, as an example, I grew up when Newsday was a new thing. And it just fairly recently started, or at least was still a small thing when I was a kid. It has since become a much larger thing. And by the way, I'm suddenly realizing I'm starting to get the Barry voice. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but okay.
I hadn't noticed until you said something, Shane.
If you get the tickle in the back of the throat with the lower voice, you'll be coughing just like me pretty soon.
Great, just what I needed. So are we talking about all people in general? In a way, yes, because these gatherings are not, again, they're not checking for IDs at the door like they would do at the Mormon churches. They are... Generally speaking, they're open to anybody and everybody that wants to come in.
You don't have to be of a particular skin color, personal sexual preference, you know, particular religious belief.
Or
you don't have to be height or hair color or favorite activity. It's just anybody can show up.
See,
when you get there, don't preach.
No, what is it, you?
Oh, God. Now, see, you talk about skin color now and height, and now you're reminding me. I wanted to try out to be a blue man for Chicago, and it turned out that I was, because I was a good percussionist. I could keep up rhythm, thank you very much, but I'm about an inch and a half too short.
You see, they're trying to maintain a particular conformity for a live performance.
Oh, absolutely.
Versus a social a group gathering of people. I mean, it's kind of like Hooters. You know, you go to Hooters, you want to if you're a straight guy, you want to see the women, which was the premise of the restaurant. Now, some women are also interested in the eye candy, but I think that Hooters should also have a polar opposite. They should have a Hanks, where they have guys going around that are in good shape, wearing tight clothing for the men and women who want to enjoy that thing.
And, Bun, I know that you want to say it, because I see the pursed lips there. Okay.
I am not going to say it.
Well, then I will say it for you. A couple of years ago, there was a guy that actually did bring up a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah, I read all about it.
Because he wanted to.
But what I'm saying is they should make a second fame restaurant attached to that. You pick the side you want to be on.
That's interesting. I am planning on having a sex and sexuality talk sometime in the future, but we'll get to that. And by the way, Ross, so you know, this is going to be one of those one of the last ones that we're going to be doing. That's specifically stuff that I wanted to talk about. Okay. We're going to be getting to the emails that you had been sending in with your topics, and like I said before, 2 weeks ago. Your stuff is really tight, and we really need to unpack it and have a little bit of time to work it over. So I'm going to make sure that our guys have got some time to look it over and really come at it much better. So thank you for all the stuff that you've been sending in. It has been received, it has been appreciated, and it has been looked at with fear and wonder because a lot of stuff to go through.
Actually, I think Ross's question that we just answered or attempted to answer, I don't know if Ross felt it was a fulfilling enough answer or not, but Ross was already starting to feel out what we were talking about And this whoever Ross is has a very powerful mind, a very, I'd say almost gifted, because there's a lot of people who can't see where something is going and ask a question that continues to, you know, associate with the path of conversation.
Yes, I would go as far as to say astute, truly.
There you go. Thank you.
I mean, it's not a word that we typically use very often, but...
I'm sorry, my words today are... my mental dictionary's garbled.
No, that's okay. Yeah, that's... I got to see about doing that one someday. For those of you that are watching now, probably sometime between... this episode 8 and episode 9, I will record something specific for you guys to really describe me and talk about my mental thing, so you guys get a much better idea as to where I'm coming from, because there is a whole story back behind my mental abilities and such. I'm not even going to do that, because when we did the when Witchy and I got on after the creation debate, I just listed it as an extra. So I'm just going to list it as an extra. But we'll see where it takes us.
You need tea. Holy cow!
Yeah. Well, I've the funny part of it is I've got it over here with me. I haven't quite finished it. Actually, ta-da! No, it's not the Betty Boop mug this time. But,
Lemon drops. Bag of lemon drops.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. Probably going to be jumping in the shower. Well, no, not jumping in the shower, because that would be bad. But probably just steam clean the hell out of my body later. I love doing that anyway. But again, we'll talk.
But, you know, I hope these gatherings for the various... locations that they actually set them up, I hope that they go very well for these people, because I know there's going to be definitely a lot of people who, I mean, they're looking at the polls. Look at these Gallup polls and everything else that they're taking, where they're asking, hey, you know, how do you feel about religion? And, or, you know, how much is religion influencing your political viewpoints? And what they're finding out is that, you know, the latest news report is that more and more people are turning away from religion as more and more politicians try to make anti-gay or anti-homosexual, depends on the words you want to use, but anti-homosexual, what did I just say? Anti-homosexual
statements
or legislation. Basically, they're making homophobic legislation at the state and attempting to at the federal level. More and more people are turning away, not only from their chosen politicians, but their chosen religions based over this. I think that as far as these the people who are turning away go. If that one thing, just because, you know, they may be turning away because they have a particular friend who happens to be of the other sexual persuasion, and they're very close to that friend and that they're a very good person, and that's the only thing that changed their mind to take away from religion, I think that person also needs to sit down and really think about, hey, wait a minute, if this is one thing that I don't agree with that made me stop doing this religion, you know, maybe I should read up the other things about my religion and make sure that A, I made a good choice. Hell, I'll back their choice. I have friends who are of the other persuasion. You know, I don't think it's fair to do nasty things to them just because some idiot who died and turned to dust wrote a book based upon what they thought religion should be. You know,
I have thoughts about that, but keep going.
But they should double check that they made the choice for their own right reasons, that they weren't following a crowd. And B, if they're happy with their decision, that they're going to need to make sure that they start reaching out to other people of like-minded who have made similar decisions in their life, because they're eventually going to need support, because when you keep something hidden for too long, even if it's something like, okay, I no longer believe in this religion, you feel the need to tell somebody, and when you do tell them, it's in many cases, it's going to go downhill and they're going to need a support group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. And there was another piece about this that I also wanted to hit before we get done. And again, you know, we're going to end up running a couple of minutes overtime. We'll see how few I can keep it down to. Besides the weekly meet and greets, whether a coffee group or a Sunday assembly like this, there is also going to be coming up in Salt Lake City. I forget when it is specifically. There is an atheist convention. I forget which group it was now off the top of my head. I wasn't planning on bringing this up, but I just suddenly remembered about it. But I'm going to have to look that way. Bunny, would you very quickly look up a search for Salt Lake City Atheist Convention? I forget which group it is. I forget if it's American Atheists or Freedom from Religion or whichever group it is. I think it's in April. Which
American Atheists.
There it is. Yep. And when is that one again? Is it around Easter?
April 17th through the 20th.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to remember, if that was April this particular year. Yeah, congratulations, by the way, to the Catholics who are observing Lent and such. Normally this would not be a not safe for work kind of thing, but I'm going to make this this comment because it came up on a wall post on Facebook. Congratulations to all you Catholics, where Lent, where you would normally start giving up things like meat, suddenly occur on Steak and Blowjob Day. So congratulations to all you guys.
See, now, there is something right there. That right there is that's one thing Judaism has over Catholicism, is that with Catholicism, they had Lent. They have to do 30 days without one particular, you know, chocolate or meat or whatever it is to prove their faith.
Yeah, but you guys go through your entire life with bacon. Who are you kidding?
Well, only the Orthodox. There's the Reformed. anyway, the Jews have Yom Kippur. It's a single day of atonement. And what it is you spend the time from sun up to sundown. The only thing you can have is water. There's no TV, no computers, no books, except for the good book. And what you do is you think about all the things that you sinned on for the past year since the last Yom Kippur, and you ask for forgiveness, true forgiveness. You know, you have to be truly repentant for forgiveness to happen. But what's great is at the end, when sundown hits, then you have a banquet.
Okay, we're all forgiven. Let's eat.
Yep, exactly. It's like, yeah, Lent, oh, you've got 30 days?
I would just like to point out that I had forgotten that it was Lent, and I went for food in my work cafeteria on Friday. I have never seen so many grilled cheese sandwiches in my life at one time.
Yeah, and for a lot of Catholics, it would tend to be fish. Yeah. By the way, which I happen to love fish.
Anyway, we actually don't offer fish in our cafeteria, so grilled cheese it is, apparently.
Yeah, and Unrenotech, I'm sorry, the way that you're describing it, all I could think of was you have to think about all the stuff that you sinned over the last year, and I'm just thinking a bunch of people, family gets together, and a bunch of cousins are getting together, and they're just like elbowing each other and going, "You remember when we did this? Jeez, we got away with that, didn't we?"
Well, actually, you see, that's the thing with Yom Kippur. It's your immediate family. It's. I have never known it to be. Now, I could be wrong, but in my growing up, when we were practicing, it was immediate family only.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's just that I was thinking, I don't know if any of my cousins are going to happen to see this one, but if you do, I remember when my paternal grandmother passed, and one of the cousins, of which there were 11 cousins, and we're there at the funeral, at the funeral, and one of the other cousins sits down kind of with us, and he leans over a little bit closer, and he's just like, "I finally figured out what it was that made Grandma's meatballs so special." Oh, Because Italian grandma from Italy.
And the secret ingredient.
Figured out what it was. She
There's
would,
always a secret ingredient.
And you know, we're all sad because, you know, it's grandma. I mean, and we're all there. And, you know, I figured, and okay, well, what was it? It's grandma hand sweat. And we almost died laughing, and it would have been so unseemly. So, Georgie, if you're watching, I have not forgotten. Grandma hand sweat is why her meatballs tasted the way that they did. Thank you. Thank you ever so much.
I'm not sure I need to hear that story.
We had a family funeral where it was my dad's mother had died, and everybody was moping around, and I had said, you know, why is everybody unhappy? She's no longer in pain, because she was in a lot of pain before she died. And,
yep.
You know, my mother came to my defense and all that. But one of the little-known things was much later on in that day, I had my first cousin and my second cousin there. Now, my first cousin had a habit of bullying me around, but he was never physically violent. The second one had a really bad problem being physical with people. And he was just downright mean. And so he was actually beating up my first cousin. And for whatever reason, that just burned me the wrong way. So I went outside and I beat the shit out of him. And my dad's father was staring out the window watching us go at it. My mother comes by and goes, oh, my God, what's going on? He's like, oh, well, he was picking on him, and then he beat the crap out of him. And she's like, well, why don't you go out there and stop him? He's like, oh, he'll be done in a minute.
Yep. Because if you deserved it, you got what you deserved.
Yep.
Yep, seen that. All right, and there's actually a reason why I was bringing that up. And again, I told you that story to kind of tell you this story. And this is one of the reasons why I really, really like the idea of the Sunday assemblies and the congregations for the non-theists. Inevitably, with every life, there is a death. And, of course, as I've said on many an occasion, what we do with our lives is our choice. And what we leave behind is a culmination of all of those. But sooner or later, leave it, we have to. It's a terminal disease, life. All things that have lived have died. And as much as it might sound like it's a depressing topic, and some people have said it's less depressing than most people think, it's a hard thing to have to deal with. Excuse me. But we have to deal with it one way or another eventually anyway. In some cases, we're lucky enough where during that time we're able to have enjoyable situations. Weddings, joining of two lives together to share the love that people have. And those are wonderful things. And if you are religious, you would typically have that celebration in a church or synagogue, or if you're lucky, maybe you're affiliated with a group that would have it, allow you to have it outside, but you need to have a structure around you. With some Christian groups, they will say, okay, we will perform it outside, but there needs to be a structure with some kind of roofing above you, even if it's temporary, but you know, you can't do it outside otherwise. You can't just do it out under the sky, because you can't do that. Shaman will perform it outside under the sky and not care. It's a beautiful thing. There are a lot of situations like that where if you have a civil ceremony, a non-religious ceremony, the running joke is, you know, well, yes. There is the running joke of, we're going down to the courthouse and we're just going to get married.
And they'll come to you, actually.
I was unaware of that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of courthouses that provide that service. There's an extra fee involved with them traveling, but if you're within a radius, there are many justices of the peace who will actually come out. You have to schedule it well in advance so that they have the time available. It was something that I had planned to do with my ex. We were going to get married at the house that we had. I was going to have the Justice of the Peace come out. It was going to be just immediate family members plus one very, very close friend, and then we were going to fly out for our honeymoon.
Okay, I did not know that. All right.
Not everywhere. You have to check with your local courthouse.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So celebrations like that would be a wonderful thing to... I got a sneeze coming on, and I know it. Bless. That's going to suck when it happens.
Salute. Gesundheit.
There's an audio play. I'll have to talk about that another time. But one of the running jokes of it was a guy ends up sneezing, and the Ajax Mortuary is what it was from, and the guy's just like, what are you, some kind of priest? Anyway, but an ability to have a congregation, an assembly, a gathering of your friends and family and your community to share in a marriage, a wedding, a joining of lives for love, or a similar grouping to send off one of our own who lost a battle with a disease or just suddenly up and just died. I mean, the Norse had the thing where everyone would get together, and if it was someone in good standing, especially warriors and such, they would lay them out in a boat. And boats were a big deal. And they would lay them out in a boat, set them out on the waves, and light it on fire. And it was an at sea pyre. And you were sent off to Valhalla through the fire. Now, obviously, there are a lot of environmental problems with that. Exactly, because most groups don't look very favorably on, you know, things being set on fire out in the water. Hello, Gulf of Mexico.
You went there.
I did.
It's not too soon.
It's just that he went there.
Yeah, that's true. But the idea of having an opportunity for the community to come together in a singular place to share in such a momentous event in life or death, to congratulate or to send off, to recognize that such a large event has happened in someone's lifetime. There, otherwise, at a meet and greet, at a coffee clutch, there is nothing the same with just doing it in a personal thing like that versus having a congregation, an assembly. There is no analog in the secular area, the non-theistic area, as what a church or a synagogue or a mosque would have, gathering everybody together for exactly that opportunity. So I really do feel like Even because you had specifically brought it up, Tech, the idea of having a hub for the gathering for everybody to exchange out, I think this is one of those things where it is outside of what you just described, but I don't think that that is a bad use of said grouping at all, and something that we hadn't really thought about. And as a matter of fact, I hadn't thought about it until just a couple of minutes ago myself. So I want to throw that one in your lap for a sec before Witchy gets at it. To see what you think about that.
The whole idea about the... Here's something to think upon. Sure. I have already thought about what I want done when I die. And it's one of two options. The first option is to find some place that accepts corpses in their natural state. That means no embalming fluid, no chemicals, no nothing. And they allow them to be directly buried into the ground without a box, without cement or any of that stuff, so that they can be broken down naturally by the earth and reabsorbed into the earth. I mean, hey, I took energy from the planet to survive. It's only fitting I give it back in my death. Failing to be able to do something like that for whoever the survivor is that's taking care of my remains then option B is to actually have myself cremated and take the remaining carbon and have it sent off to a service where they turn it into a diamond under extreme pressure. Wow. Yeah, and to have that, that would be to for my son, if he's still alive at that time. If not, it would go to my sister, whoever's alive, who's closest in direct kinship. And the idea is that they now have a piece of me that will last the test of time, a memento, if you will. And I don't find anything creepy with that. There's a lot of other people who do find things creepy. But that's just the option area. That's one of two options. But there's the connecting point of those two options where they meet, and that is that everybody who wants to get together over my remains, family, friends, loved ones, things like that, my ceremony is going to be a non-religious ceremony where people are, when they come in, they will be given a single instruction. And that is you must think of one good time you've had with me that you can remember. And if you want to, you can go up front and you can tell the crowd about it, but you don't have to. But you do need to find your drink of choice and have a toast, because there will be kegs of beer, there will be vodka, there will be rum, and there will be, so help me,
is that part of what's coming out of your
there
life?
Will be tequila.
Is that part of what's coming out of your life insurance then, Renna?
Huh?
Is that part of what's coming out of your life insurance?
There you go. And the idea is that you will celebrate having had those times with me, and you will share them with the other people around you, because you're all connected through me at some point, whether you were whether you knew me at the same stages in life, or whether you were somebody who remembers me from high school, whereas somebody else remembers me from work or college, you know. So throughout the times, you're all interconnected through me. Celebrate that connection with each other. And you know, if you want to cry, let the tears flow, but they better damn well be happy tears. There will be no feeling sorry for my passing. There will be no feeling sorry for other people because of my passing. There will be no pitying the fact that I am non-religious. You will either be there to be happy and celebratory, or you won't be there. Period.
And, Bun, you deserve also.
No, as long as we're on that topic, I'm going to actually kind of echo the sentiment, though I will note that the first time I told anyone about these plans that I had thought up, instead of saying celebrating my life, I said celebrate my death, so that was kind of fun. But the whole idea that I feel like, you know, for these types of gatherings, it's like, you know, celebrating life for after death is like, yeah, you know, celebrate that I was there and, you know, whatever good times you had with me. And while you mentioned the life gem, which is what that's actually called, the taking of the carbons and making it into a gem, at least that's the company that does it anyway that I know of, I've got twofold more for that. Since I want mine to be a party, we're going to take some of my other ashes and make them into fireworks to be shut off at the end, because you can do that. And the rest of the ashes, there's actually an urn you can get that gets a seed planted in it, like a tree seed, that they then, you know, basically your ashes help nourish it, and it grows into a tree that then gets planted.
Oh, the remaining ashes are around the seed, and then the seeds.
It's mixed in with the soil of the seed to help give it nitrogen. And then it's basically the seed grows out of this biodegradable urn that can then be planted into the ground, and the tree can grow from it.
That's awesome.
I thought it was a really great idea, and honestly, for me, it's, I don't want people to be necessarily sad that I'm gone. I mean, yeah, you know, they're going to miss me. I get it. And I'm not going to, I personally am not going to stand there and try and say, you know, well, you can't be sad that I'm gone, because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I would like them to at least know that I gave, and I gave some happiness, and that, you know, this type of thing was, you know, good, and I lived. And ultimately, to me, that's what matters. But more the gathering, I feel like that should be happy, and I feel like ultimately wherever you find that is what's the most important. So, I mean, take that for whatever.
When I was saying that, if you're going to be sad, don't be there. What I meant was is that if you're going to mourn my passing, then you should take the time out of your day to do that with you and your friends or whatever. My gathering, it will be a celebration, not a mourning. That's what I was trying to get across. But I didn't mean that they couldn't mourn. Everybody mourns differently. I don't mourn. When I do the sadness kind of mourning, that's me alone with my own thoughts. And when I'm around other people mourning, I release my happy memories and happy thoughts and share them with others to help ease their pain.
Yeah, this is definitely a topic that I want to specifically cover sometime too. The idea of dealing with loss and grief is something that's come up in a lot of podcasts in the past, and it's definitely something that deserves some attention a little bit later. So it is something that we will be planning on tackling sometime in the future.
You just need to make a list of future topics.
Yeah,
I'm going to be working on that. No, I'm excited not that for list. Ross's question.
Yes, we're gonna see about getting to those. What I'm going to probably end up doing is seeing about setting up some Google document so that people can look over and review and see what questions have come up and what is going to be happening for the future. It's going to take a little bit of time for me to get that set up because the only so much time that I've got. And being a single dad, again, is going to be part of, you know, all my big talk. Sometimes I've got the time to do it, sometimes I don't. But I will make that happen. It's just a question mark of how long it's going to take. So if you are watching at this point and you'd like to find out a little bit more information about all that, please follow me over on Google+ so that you can find out about that and get announcements on this. And if you do, find me under the name Shujin Tribble. Two words, and please specifically ask to be added to the Holy Crap circle so that you'll be able to get the notices and invites to the talks and get the information for the documents. What are you laughing
about? I'm sorry. You said Holy Crap circle, and I was thinking the Holy Trinity triangle, and we've got a crap circle. So I just envisioned, it's like, okay, here we have the Holy Trinity making a triangle, but now around it we have a circle of crap. It's like a dog.
Wow.
A whole line of poo.
I think we have.
My brain shut down.
Apparently. I think we have your new symbol shift.
I haven't even hit the medication yet.
Yeah, you know what? That's going to be it. I think that's going to be it.
Sorry.
That's all right.
This is what happens when I get sick.
Yeah, and let's face it, we're unfortunately at the 90-minute point again. So,
sorry, folks.
Again, still working on it. We're still single digits. We still got a little bit more time to iron this out. We will get it. We'll get it. Either that, or I'm just going to accept the fact that we're a 90-minute show and be done from there. I don't know yet. We're going to work this out a little bit better. Once we've all had the opportunity of actually reviewing a topic ahead of time, maybe it'll actually, you know, trim down because we'll know exactly what we're going to be trying to hit content-wise, and it'll come down. I mean, let's face it, Noah and Heath and Lucinda. They script out, and they know what they're doing, and they've got it down to a half an hour. Admittedly, they get to do post-production, too. So, you know, guys, thank you. Thank you so much. So, there's a lot of stuff that we will end up talking about. Not all of it is going to be fun. Some of it is actually going to be kind of difficult. But like I said, I will be going ahead and I will be dropping that into the feed sometime during this week, potentially Tuesday. and keep a lookout. I will record it on Hangouts. I will do it alone, but I will allow information, you know, to be in the Q&A again, so that it will at least, for those that do want to listen in and do want to send over questions, you know, I'll tackle that too, although I don't know how helpful it'll be. As always, thank you very much, Unreno Tech, for joining us this evening.
Absolutely, it was my pleasure. And a quick shout out to Noah, dude, over at the Scathing Atheist. I've been listening to 4-hour marathons, catching up on your podcasts for the last 5-6 days, and damn, man, just especially Heath. Holy shit, dude. I wish I had your response time, man.
And now you understand why I wanted to have him on the show.
Oh, God, yeah, I'd be in stitches. I'd be in tears.
See, and this is also why I'm thinking getting Noah and Neil deGrasse Tyson together at the same time on this show would be freaking epic.
Oh, the world, dude, it would explode.
I believe I said something very, very similar when you mentioned it to me.
Yeah,
exactly.
It would just, the logic that would explode out from the pod, from the video cast, would just encompass the world.
It would be a glorious thing. Witchy Bunny, again, thank you, hon, very, very kindly for the weekend. Shut up, people, and of course, for joining us tonight.
My absolute pleasure.
And so that everybody can go ahead and watch the bunny get broken, yes, I've ruined her this weekend completely and barely, so.
Yeah. I can never have a burger in the States again. Thank you. Harvey's makes a burger a beautiful thing.
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, if I remember right, that's one of their past slogans. For those of you that don't know, look up Harvey's in Canada. Harvey's.
Probably.ca.
Yeah, Harvey.ca. It's a beautiful thing. If you think McDonald's and Burger King or White Castle and Five Guys are
Wendy's, fast food.
They are.
Harvey's is also fast food, but Harvey's is superior fast food.
Oh, yes, it is. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. As always, everyone, thank you very much for joining us. The next scheduled show, episode 009, is going to be the 23rd of March. And as I said, the supplementary show I'm planning on is going to be the 18th, which is going to be Tuesday. It's not going to be at midnight Eastern. It'll be sometime in the earlier evening, probably something along the lines of like 9 p.m. Eastern time instead. So if you're able to join, wonderful. Thank you. If not, that's okay. If you'd like to send over questions to be handled or topics, you can send them over to me as shujintribble@gmail.com. And of course, in the subject line, please do put holy crap so I know it's specifically about the show. The shows, as you guys know full well, are a lot of times very spur of the moment. The topics are not always in advance. Sometimes they're only a couple of hours in advance, but we do try to really think through this stuff, and we hope that you guys are enjoying it. I've said before, I recognize that the pace that we go at is far slower than most other podcasts because we are not very well trained in stuff. We're not very well educated in stuff. We're just several people who like the idea of racking our own brains and really trying to understand a topic before we really jump full foot into the deep end of stuff that we may not be ready to even tread water into. So, if there's stuff that we answer and you don't feel that we're really covering stuff, give us the information. Point us towards whatever references that you've got to help us tackle over projects and really come to a better understanding on stuff. Even if it's stuff that we don't, that you think that we would not necessarily agree with, because as nice as it is to talk about stuff that we all agree about and have a good smile about, talking through stuff that we disagree about is where true understanding and knowledge comes from. The wisdom comes from understanding how to utilize that. I, for one, am very happy to learn stuff that I didn't know yesterday. If you want to get an idea as to just how much so, watch Men in Black again and listen to what Kay has to say about it. What will you know tomorrow? I look forward to those days. So on behalf of the panel here, and of course on behalf of all of us who keep trying to fight the good fight and think the good think, thank you for watching. Dallin and Gavin, you guys take very good care of yourselves. Safe travels. All of you out there that have to deal with the sub-Arctic temperatures again, please be safe out there, especially on the roads. And as always, we will see you very soon. Until the next time we get together, as always, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you all well. Until that very next time we get together, everyone, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.